Welcome to the DTFH. Hello. Oh my God, what an episode we have for you today. This covers the whole gamut of everything that I'm interested in. Spirituality, politics, and mind control. And who better to have this conversation with than Robert Ryan. Robert Ryan is an artist and one of the coolest artists I've ever met. If you're lucky enough to live in New Jersey, you could actually get a tattoo from this incredible human at Electric Light Tattoo Studio. But he's not just an artist. He's not just an occultist. He's not just a Shaivite. He's not just a scholar when it comes to the esoteric. He's also a musician. So I hope, my dear friends living in Asheville, that you will go and see him perform. He's going to be at the Ayur Prana Listening Room in Asheville, November 22nd. And he's also coming to COSM, Alex and Allison Gray's place, December 5th. All the links you need to find Robert Ryan are going to be down there. So here we go, everybody. Welcome back to the DTFH, Robert Ryan. Now, Robert Ryan, we do need to know, we're just curious to know, why were you found holding binoculars outside of the home of Jessica French?
Well, I was bird watching, and then all of a sudden, the house caught on fire right next to where I was standing, and I happen to have an accelerant that I always carry with me.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. You seem to be, as always, traveling the world, doing meditation retreats. Where are you at now? Are you... And this is like something that is really weird when it comes to a spiritual practice, is the... In the modern world, we have this conceptualization of progress that seems to not align with spiritual progress. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, some days, I just feel like, what a waste of fucking time. Why did I even bother with that shit at all? And some days, you're like, I think I'm on the precipice of enlightenment. Both days, you're a fool.
Yeah. Well, when you realize that there's really nothing to be gained, that becomes kind of your guiding star, you know, that actually you're like refining rather than trying to attempt or get somewhere, you know, like the path is always unfolding, you know. Yeah. you're always halfway there. Yeah. No matter what, you know. So
yeah,
when you become comfortable with that, and then you can start to peel stuff away, and then the refining is actually what the path becomes, rather than like striving for something. Because when you're striving for something, it gets corrupted. Usually there's something in the way, you know, like why do you need this? Why what is enlightenment going to bring to you? You know, are you going to be able to like talk better on the podcast?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like be a better artist or anything like that? All those things hopefully do come from some sense of progress, as the word we used earlier, but they shouldn't be the goal.
The,
I don't think.
That those words you just uttered in the beginning, if you want to look at modernity as a religion, the words, nothing to gain, that's blasphemy. To say that in the modern world, nothing to gain. Oh, we're so programmed. We hate that idea. Everything's transactional. You want something out of everything. And what I love about those words is it underlines something that is inside of everyone's heart, this itchy kind of hunger for something more than this.
Yeah, it takes you completely out of the moment, right?
Yeah.
When there's nothing to be gained but everything to be learned or everything to be experienced, you know, like it just leaves you with the, you know, the potential for just about anything, you know, and like the creative capacity of the entire universe is at your, it, within your breath, you know? So like once you let go of like your ideas, your preconceived notions of what the spiritual path is or what spirituality is, how many neck beads that you wear, or how long your beard is, or what color robe you're going to wear, all those things, all that stuff gets in the way at some point. And you have to, that's the final renunciation. You know, like, yeah. I've been reading a lot about this lately. I've been reading the Avadhuta Gita, it's called, which is the Gita, the song of Dattatreya. Do you know who Dattatreya is? He's the three-head. You've probably seen pictures of him. He has three heads. Human just with three heads, and it's to...
I'd remember him.
Yeah, if you came across him, if you saw him at an Arby's or something, yeah. It's the guy with the three heads.
Yeah.
It's to symbolize the yana, the kriya, and the icha, the trimurtis, the threes.
Some people won't know what that even means. Like, it's cool that you're explaining that with something equally esoteric that people are gonna be like, what the fuck? Oh, the trimurtis. What is that? What do you mean?
To put it simply, I think is like creation, sustaining, and destruction.
Those three forces
exist in just about everything we do.
Yes.
You know, it happens in our breath. You know, we breathe in, we hold it, it collapses.
Right.
You know, we're born, we live, we die.
Yes.
You know, you can follow that thread through just about every mode of material existence.
Yeah.
So the Avadhuta Gita is explaining what Avadhut is. And an Avadhut is someone who's reached a completely different state of understanding, where none of the things in this world have any kind of impact, don't make any sense. They're just completely living inside. They're having this internal experience.
Right.
And I've met some people like this, you know, in India, a couple of times I've sat with Avadhuts, and, they're completely, it's not speaking any language, communicating in completely abstract terms, but the creative capacity is always there, and they're doing amazing things. Amazing feats of strength, or it's not of this world, although they're in this world.
The closest I can come to being an avadhut is, once you become experienced using like LSD, so that you're used to what's happening. I'm sure you've been through the LSD phase. Anyone out listening who's been through the LSD phase, you get to a point where you're like nothing's going to shock you that's happening during that experience. And if you're around people who are taking it for the first time, you will seem supernatural in your ability to like maintain what appears to be complete sobriety. Even though walls are melting around you, you're in a completely expanded state of consciousness. But when you look at the human experience itself as another psychedelic experience, it's longer, obviously. It's a very long trip, but a trip nonetheless. And it sounds like these people are people who are able to, in the midst of the ultimate hallucinogenic experience, see past that, and there's a kind of sobriety in what you're describing.
Yeah, and living like the best moments of their lives completely in joy, you know.
Right.
Even though like they might be covered in their own feces and spit, and like,
yeah,
you know, completely haven't showered in months, or you know, haven't eaten, or but they're without needs. You know,
right.
And there's an efficiency that comes without needs that goes beyond our conceptual way of living. You know?
Well, you know what? If I'm around one of them, I'm going to have a need for them to take a shower. That's all. Like the other stuff you mentioned, fine. But come on. Use some wet wipes.
And they might honor that for you, but maybe not. Yeah. You know?
Well, but what I really love about this possibility is that it is revolutionary. Like, you know, I was explaining to my kid this morning how in our world, the way it is right now, if your shoes get a little worn down, you buy new shoes. If your shirt has a rip in it, you buy a new shirt. If the toaster breaks, you throw it away, you get a new toaster. And how all of this is a result of businesses wanting to make more money. Because if we learn to sew, if we learn to take care of our shoes, if we have lower our standards regarding the wear and tear on the clothes we wear, that equals trillions of dollars that CEOs will lose. And so we have been conditioned to believe that a sign of health or things are going good for you is everything's new. You're wearing everything that is freshly bought. And so what you're describing is the arrow in the heart of that. This episode of the DTFH is supported by my friends at Quince. You know, I live here in Texas and as a never nude who loves to wear winter clothes, that's a little challenging for me because Texas clings to summer like a malarial dog clings to an old bacterial soaked tennis ball it found in the burning mouth of a flame demon. It won't let go, but it will eventually. It can't hold onto that ball. And soon fall will come to Texas. I know it will. And when it does, you better believe I'm heading over to Quince and I'm picking up a beautiful organic cotton fisherman crew sweater. I don't want to get into it. Don't get me started. I'm sorry, Quince. I am going to get started. Do you know, I don't know what's going on in the world, guys. I don't know why it is that brands have got to put their fucking name all over everything. I just want a nice, normal, one-color, long-sleeve sweater that will cling to my body, that will hold me like the embrace that my mother used to give me, and I could think of my mommy all the time. Yeah, I don't know why it is that you go to a store and some brand has splattered their stupid logo all over what could have been a perfectly good sweater. This is why Quince is my go-to. Normal clothes. Kind of clothes Jack Kerouac might have worn in some smoky jazz bar. Not something graffitied on by a corporation. Also, it's not just incredible clothes. They've got everything. You need some great cookware? They've got it. Travel accessories? They got it. You don't really need to go anywhere but Quince. You could delete the entire internet. Just leave Quince. Layer up this fall with pieces that feel as good as they look. Go to quince.com/Duncan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/Duncan. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Duncan. Thank you, Quince. Mode of being, which I think is a huge part of modernity. You know, you feel ashamed if you made your own clothes. When I was in school and there were kids whose parents would sew their clothes for them, I grew up in North Carolina, you were made fun of mercilessly. You know, if your clothes were sewn up by your sweet mom who couldn't afford to buy new clothes, brutally attacked. You know, it is viciously, it's horrible. And so what you're describing, I think, is, you know, everyone these days, especially, what do we do? What do we do? We start killing CEOs? What do we do? Kill a CEO, talk about a bunch of fucking heads. Another fucking head's going to grow on that corporation.
There's already one growing in place of it before it's even gone.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So you see what I'm saying, right? Like what you're describing isn't just some kind of, you know, passive way of evading the grind of day-to-day life. It's literally a recipe for complete transformation of society if enough people began to live in a place of non-addiction to material stuff.
Yeah, of course, but also within that, they kind of advise against it, that the avidute's life is only for the avidute.
Of course. Now it's a fucking club.
Well, the thing is,
stinky people.
our civilization would stop because it's not like they're having kids. They're not householders. They're not running countries. They're just acting within this world as an example of what you can be and what can be done when you don't, when you're efficient enough in your life that you don't have needs and you don't rely on the state. You don't rely on the family. You don't rely on the temples. They don't go to, they're not like hanging out in temples or doing rituals even. They're beyond that. And they're beyond, you know, a big part of the Dharma is to transcend illusion. In their world, there's not even illusion. Illusion's just, you know, mixed in with the rest of everything else that they're transcending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not even tripping about that, where a lot of people, you know, it's their goal to, like, get past the illusion in this world. Which, if you can even identify the illusion, you're already off on to a good start, I believe.
Well, identify the illusion. What would it be?
That you're this body, you know, that you know, like that you're made. You know, this is who you're. This is your true reality.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate reality, that you can one click a new shirt when you need one, you know, or you know, like all those things. You know, you can go on and on and on about it. You know, you can work your entire life to get a great car, to drive that great car to your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like when we're talking about renunciation, and I've brushed up against this idea here and there. It's like the physical renunciation is just the beginning phase of the thing. The physical renunciation is actually, what you're talking about is like the ultimate renunciation, which is to let go completely of all of these conceptualizations that have been taught to you since you are capable of understanding English or whatever your language may be.
Then you renounce that. Even you're renouncing being renounced,
right?
Because you're just out. Living it in a different state of consciousness completely.
Yeah. And that, so, you know, like when in Buddhism, when they, you know, you, when they're talking about, you know, leave your family, forget it, forget the whole thing. There's lots of ways to look at that. You can look at it as physically abandoning your family, which you can leave your family and still be with your fucking family in your head, you know? Yeah. But this is actually what happens if you start recognizing that this is kind of a dream, and it's a very convincing dream, but it's still a dream. Like you know, you're going to wake up. Like in this case, like death would be that moment, but still a dream. And just saying that out loud it kind of fills me with a little bit of guilt. You know, I want to believe in this all the way.
Well, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with believing in your dream either, you know, and you can't shun the dream. Like we were talking about renunciation, and, you know, we're going into different schools of thought, you know, of like Tantra and Veda and things like that. But Bhagavad Gita warns us, Krishna warns Arjuna about false renunciation, because that's what he tries to do on the battlefield.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's like, I'm out. I'm good. I'm not doing this. I'm not
going
killing
into the
anybody.
Woods.
Yeah, and he's like, no, you're a warrior. This is what you need to do. Just the way we're householders, I'm a tattoo artist, you're a comedian. We do our duties, but the awareness is where the renunciation comes into play. You know, if you're a comedian and you have complete awareness of what you're doing when you're on stage performing comedy, or if I'm doing a tattoo and I'm completely present in that moment of doing this tattoo for the person, we're going to get the highest standard.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. You just have to say bye-bye. Like, that's the thing, is like when I'm on stage, I can't be on stage. I can't be there. If I'm there at all, that produces latency. And by me being there, I mean, there's some plan. There's some like goal. Right. There's something I want. There's a place I want to hit or something. Any of those things.
They get wiped out immediately as soon as you're on stage, right?
Gone in the back. I mean, if they're not gone, then, you know, that's fucked, because it can create this cascading loop.
That's when you bomb.
Yeah, that's when you start bombing, is because you're like, oh shit, I'm here. Oh no, I didn't go away all the way. But it's when you get on stage and walk off stage, and like there's a you that right before you got on stage, there's a you when you get off stage. It's when you're doing art, same situation where you just look up and you're like, hours have passed. Where the fuck were you? There's a thing there that you made, but you weren't there at all. Like,
but you were, right? Like, you were really there. Your mind, your thoughts weren't like drifting, you know, like that's the way a lot of people think, like, you know, by thinking something through that you're being present, but maybe not so much, you know, by experiencing it, that's when you're being present.
Yes.
If your thoughts are getting in the way of it, then how present are you?
Well, look, let me just pull all this back to the federal government shutdown. I know you love talking about these things. This, but I think there is a weird parallel, which is
there always is, yeah.
If you look at the federal government as the mind, and you look at the country as the heart, we have the severe imbalance right now between the head and the heart, which most people do. Most people, I've said this on the podcast a few times, but one of the most ironic things I ever saw was this during some previous government shutdown. There's a dumpster in a national park. Trash is piled up around this dumpster. And the reporter's like, what are we going to do about this trash? The federal government is shut down.
Like, you couldn't take it out yourself,
no,
right?
No yeah. one can. Only the federal government can yeah. take that trash out of the national park. No, certainly no one can do it for free. No one's going to do it for no reason, for just to get trash out. No one has time for that shit. I wanted to go on a fucking hike. I'm not a garbage man. And so the mind seemingly plays the same trick on the heart. Which is, it convinces you that without it, you are fucked. Like, you, your thoughts, your planning, your strategies, your identification with whoever the fuck you think you are, your politics, the sports team you like, this is the penultimate state. And all the other stuff, the feeling stuff, the whatever stuff that your heart is always like calling you to, it's, come on, don't go there. Sentimentality is suicide. You don't be some, whatever, you're a man. Don't listen to that shit. Even though it's somehow like, it's the undiscovered country. It's this beautiful terrain that is just always there. This is what you're pointing towards in the description of these enlightened beings. You know,
yeah, and who's talking you out of taking that garbage out, or who's talking you out of you know, like helping out? It's the ego, you know. Yeah. It's the pairs of opposites that get in the way of everything. Republican, Democrat, left, right, black, white. You know, it's the pair of opposites. You know, and the Avadhoot doesn't care about the opposites. It cares about the unity, and the unity of the heart, the mind, and the soul. The unity of the creation, destruction, you know, disillusion, right. All those things. Once you cut one part out of it, it's out of balance. And when you said it's in balance earlier, that's exactly what our problem is. And you can trace that right to the most vital force in your body, which is your breath.
Right. And most people don't even fucking, you probably have a good breath practice, but my God, sometimes when I'm like, why the fuck am I breathing like this, man? You know what I mean? Like, you look at your breath, you're not taking deep breaths. You're like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I breathing like I'm being stalked in the woods right now? I'm
because
at the airport.
We are. But the ego is stalking us in the woods. It's stalking us in our bedroom. It's stalking us, you know, at work. It's stalking us in our families. Yeah. And it gets in the way. So, and it is a response. And I've heard about this before. I'm not sure if this is how factual this is, but the whole idea of us doing that is like a reaction from the floods, you know, from the time of the floods.
What?
Of us. Like, when we catch our breath, like when we do that thing, that's like a genetic response from the time of the flooding.
Oh, you mean the great event?
The great event
that is coming again.
It's happened in every one of the books once already. Why not happen again?
Well, I mean, it's happened in all the fucking books. It's like the all the ancient sites out there. Just like clear that this is another thing that points towards the sort of absurdity of the way we're currently living, which is the earth is scattered with ruins from cities that were massive. And we have we barely understand who they were. All we know is there's certain things that seem to appear across the planet, the purse thing that's in all the petroglyphs, the recurring figures. That's all we know. And we don't think about it that much. We don't think about the fact that that means there was an interconnected global fucking community that is gone. Gone beyond gone. God, I've been showing my kids. Well, they asked to see it. It's not like I'm sit down and watch this, but like lava. Like there's all these YouTube videos of lava flowing over Coca-Cola cans. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
that Coca-Cola can, that's gone now. It's going to be an igneous rock. Maybe at some point someone will be like, what the fuck is this? But like when huge disasters happen, glaciation, volcanic eruptions, whatever the fuck was there is just the hard drive's erased. We don't want to believe that that would ever happen again, even though we're not even close to coming up with a plan for meteor impacts, sea level rising, pole shifts, supernovas, you know, micronovas or whatever. We don't. We just hang out in this very fragile civilization, acting like we're going to be around forever.
Yeah, and could there ever really even be a plan for something like that? You know, like, how do you plan for that?
Go underground?
Just breathe, you know? Like, that's the plan, you know? Get right with yourself, you know? That's the only plan that you can actually commit right to and carry out. And
right,
the thing is, you know, I hate to be doom and gloom because it's not about that, because we're all going to die no matter what, every one of us. That's right, the one thing we have in common. So why not try to get it right now?
While you're here.
You know, or... yeah.
That thing you just said, not trying to be doom and gloom, that is another sign of how fucking nuts everyone is right now, because you have to preface a statement of fact is that, look, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but water's wet. You know what I mean? We don't want to admit fucking water's wet in this case. Why are you being so, why are you so negative calling water wet? You know what I mean? That's how imbalanced we've become. I guess in this case, if we're talking about those heads, we don't really, like, we're becoming increasingly ahistoric, and we certainly don't want to look into the impending oblivion waiting all of us. And so we just want to imagine this silly phase in planetary history is permanent. And it's producing mad maniacs. It's producing...
It creates a mania. You know, when you deny death, it creates a mania, you know, and like, and it's the one undeniable thing, you know, it's like, there's no one that could prove any other way.
I think
but what dies?
Well, you just come down, man. I think it's sweet. Who hasn't wanted to re-up on ecstasy? I think it's sweet. These transhumanists are no different than anyone having a great ecstasy trip. We're like, come on, let's take another one. It's like they just want to, you know, increase the length of the trip. That's all. They just want to stay high. I get it. I've been there. You don't want to come down. You know, and people who are afraid of death, they're just people who don't want to come down.
As we know, what goes up must come down.
Always. And God help you, by the way, if you figured out how to not come down. Jesus Christ. There's been many a time where I've been having a great trip. And I'm like, man, we got to take more. I got to stay like this forever. But, dude, what a fucked up situation you'd be in if you did manage to stay high forever. It would get old pretty soon, you know? And I worry about these transhumanists, because I worry, like, they're going to figure it out. They are going to figure out how to live for thousands of years. And like, 300 years in, they're going to be like, dude, this was a fuck up. This sucks. I'm so over this.
Well, there's a new cottage industry for you, you know, healer to the transhumanists.
The what?
The healer to the transhumanists, you know, like
it's called a bullet. I'm just kidding, transhumanists out there. I wouldn't mind tacking on a couple hundred years of the old getting the hair back.
You're going to have the transhumanist beating down your door now, man. Jesus.
Why would you say that? I love life, by the way. I mean, I think it's like if you don't want to, you know, people don't realize their fear of death is, you know, I've said this before, is fear of death is a love of life. You know, it's just it's the dark mask the love of life wears. You're afraid to die because you love your life, but you're so fixated on the fact it's going to end, you can't enjoy it.
Right.
And that's so sad.
Yeah, no, totally. That's like, you know, you're counting down the days, you're counting down the, I only have a couple of years left with my family, you know? It's like, who thinks like that? And if you do, you're fucked, you know?
Oh, God, you're so fucked. You can't enjoy it at all. All the fucking, like, all those beautiful moments just covered in a cloud of psychic flatulence that doesn't have to be there. It's like, but I get it, man. There's so many times. First day of vacation, my dumb ass is inevitably like, be on the plane flying back pretty soon.
Four more days.
It's so sad. It's so sad. But this, you know, this is like the shitty show that the mind is selling tickets to. You know, like it's the same show. We keep buying tickets to the same garbage show.
Well, it's such a groove. It's such a like fixed groove that we're into. Like by going on vacation, we've broken our pattern that we're so used to that's one of the first reactions is like, when is this going to end? You know, when do I get back to the couch? You know, and once you live through a couple of days, usually if you're not completely out of your mind, you can get into the groove, a new groove, you know, and a new sense of direction, but until then you're like clinging to all the old things, and that's where the mania sets in.
Yeah, just you know that, and it shows up, I don't mean to keep going back to politics, but it shows up in like the political slogans of the last election. We're not going back, or make America great again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're not going back there, fixated on the fear of the past, or we are going back there because this here is fucked. And both of these are denying that this here, you first of all, there's no going back anyway. You can't go back. There's no going back. This is it. And really, like, this episode is brought to you by the Warlords of Ridge, who are making Warlord-style wallets. Look at this baby. I proudly carry a Ridge wallet, the perfect weight, by the way. This thing is not only the most incredibly durable, super powerful wallet I've ever had, but this sucker could act as a hatchet if you sharpen the edges. You can get somebody with this thing. You could probably train yourself to throw it like a throwing star, but it would be hard because you cut yourself when you reached into your pocket. But Ridge, this was my idea. I'm happy to share it with you. Give me a call. Weaponized Ridge wallet. It doesn't exist yet, but this little baby here, it survived the trussle experience. And my wallets, they don't survive that experience. My wallets become tattered, frayed, and broken. Like when you see videos of people who've been lost at sea, skin falling off their bones, oozing sores from seagulls pecking at them and lapping up their blood. That's my wallets. But not the Ridge. The Ridge stands strong, a bastion against the forces of entropy that seem to be magnified down there in my crotch region where my pockets touch. Their new charger is fucking nuts. Look at that power bank, guys. Just let your eyes fall upon that thing. It's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? It makes you wonder. What's going on with all these other power banks out there? These big, thick bricks they want you to carry around like some fool? No. Not the Ridge power bank. Slim, sleek, powerful, durable. One thing to pack, five ways to power. You can find Ridge's power bank at Best Buy, or our listeners can get 10% off at Ridge.com by using code Duncan at checkout. Just head to Ridge.com and use code Duncan, and you're all set. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Please. I got so many kids, guys. So many kids. Please. Don't go to Best Buy. You know, when you realize that, like, not to deny all the bullshit out there right now, because there's a lot of, but when you realize, like, you're scared of fascism, you're living in your mind, and it's all of the tricks it's playing on you, and the mind, Orwellian mind fuck, it's constantly playing on everybody, the gaslighting your mind, it's all the distortions you're subconsciously creating to evade reality as it is. Dude, no federal government, nothing could do that much of a mind fuck that you're doing yourself.
Right. You know, the mental ghetto is as treacherous as the physical ghetto.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. But it's real hard to let go, man. Like, you know, that's the other thing is, like, addiction is addiction is addiction. And I am addicted, like, to things being a certain way. I want, you know, I need things to be a certain way, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not above any of the things we're talking about. And I'm also contributing in all the things we're talking about. But I do try to bring that awareness into my life. And when we're talking about going back to something, going back to a perceived reality with rose-colored glasses that never existed in the first place is one thing. Trying to get back to a sense of simplicity where, like, maybe the ancients may have practiced some of these things could definitely enrich your life.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, just don't wait for the fucking government to do that for you. It's never going to happen.
They're never going to do. They're never going to do anything for you.
Never going to happen.
They're going to take as much as they can from you, and they'll wrap it up in a slogan, just like they always do. You know, and like, you know, I I'm not an anarchist. You know, I like order. You know, I like, you know, being able to you know, not fear. You know, like, if I'm going to go to the store, that I'm about to get shot for what I'm carrying at, you know. But that being said, you know, I'm also not relying on the government, you know, to answer my questions.
Well, in general, just statistically, when you leave the store, you're not going to get shot. And but because of these motherfuckers, a lot of us feel like that when we leave the goddamn store. A lot of us feel like that all the time, looking around all the time. Is that a fucking Marxist? Is that a fucking fascist? What's happening? And it's like, nothing. That's the great tragedy. I'm not discounting. There are things happening, but in general, like right now, whoever's listening to this, I pray that you're not like being dragged into a van right now. And if you are, well, thank you for listening to DTFH. But you know what I mean, man. This
the fear velocity.
The fear velocity is high right now. And what I love about what you're talking about, and what I hate saying this, it's a new age term, these ancient technologies offer us, is a braking system to slow down that velocity of fear in ways that I understand why people would think they're having mystical experiences. It's not mystical. You're just slowing down a little bit. But when you get into this stuff, you're like, oh my God, the synchronicities, but it's like, you know what you're experiencing? Just what it's like to be normal and not freaked out all day long.
And think about like what was fast paced 3,000 years ago compared to now. Oh, where we're like, you know, we're accessing images upon images upon images, you know, like William Burroughs said, images, millions of images, you know, like, it's just, we're living in that deluge right now, you know, that flood of just information. Maybe that's the new, you know, end time storm. Well, we're just going to drown in information and not in actual water.
It's cocaine. It's just the new cocaine is information. Like, everyone's doing big fat rails of it all the time. And, like, because we're, you know, like any other great drug, you get a tolerance. And so once you get a tolerance for apocalyptic events, it's like, you know what? I think I need 3 apocalyptic events per week, please. 2 just right. isn't scratching the itch anymore.
Then and you so get in the dark internet, and then you're hitting the crack pipe.
Here we go. Comet Atlas. Oh my God, those robots can do backflips. Oh my God, the sun's not acting normal. Something's wrong with the sun. Oh my God, drones over New Jersey. Oh yeah. Why am I shitting blood? You know what I mean? Yeah. Why does my nose randomly start bleeding? Why is my body aching? What's going on? I'm taking the vitamins. You know, this is the state of modern humans is on one level, colors are still working, gravity seems to be intact. On another level, we are for sure living in an apocalypse of sorts. And it's just weird because the apocalypse, it seems to be happening in our devices more than it's happening around us.
Definitely, if not in the device, it's amplified through the device.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Apocalypse amplifiers.
Yeah. We each got one in our pocket.
It's just the craziest shit to think that these things that were heralded as like, this is going to be Star Trek, man. This is going to be the thing that like unifies the planet. This is going to be the thing where everyone has access to the Library of Alexandria times a million. This is going to be the thing that's going to transform the way we work, give us more time with our families. It's crazy that all these things seem to have done is just made us exponentially more anxious. That's it.
Yeah, because it took us out of the moment. You know, it takes us out of the moment. You know, I do it online. You know, I'm standing in line waiting to check out. I look at my phone.
Why? Oh, dude.
You know why? Why? You know,
like, it hurts.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to hurt. You know, there's, you know, like you might meet your best friend, the next person in line. You could meet your worst enemy too, but that's, you know, that's the existence that we're participating in.
I'm so fucked up that when I'm packing in my hotel room, I'll turn the TV on. Won't even watch it. I just need the background chatter of people talking, because otherwise as I'm packing, I feel too lonely. Dude. What's wrong? What the fuck? Like we're losing the ability just to not have chatter around us. What is that, by the way? You know that feeling when you're by yourself, nothing's going on around you. You're just by yourself. Hotel room, your room, car. You haven't turned the radio on yet. It's just you, and this feeling appears that. I feel like a lot of us, we really don't want to feel it. And so we find this morphine via some distraction, like my podcast. Thank you for listening. And but what is that, Robert, that feeling, that ache?
That ache is just, again, your ego trying to fill the space that once you get past that loneliness or that weird feeling – isn't so bad at all, and there's actually a sweetness to it. Think of all the amazing, beautiful music, books, movies that have been written out of loneliness. You know, the potential for so much output can come from that one feeling that you're gonna suppress, that you're gonna like, you know, let bubble up inside you, and all these the feeling doesn't go anywhere. You just fill it. You know, you just replace it with something else, but it's not going anywhere. It's still there. That feeling is there for a reason. You should pay attention to it. Spend some time with it. Maybe make friends with it, or have it become your worst nemesis. At least you're face to face with it. You're not hiding from it, and you're not trying to trick yourself that it's not there.
It's a shock collar.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like the you know, it's some kind of self, like we put the shock collar on ourselves, I guess. But like the moment you get into the undiscovered country, which is the zones of silence, the places of non-transaction, or doing something for some reason, the most obvious way to get there is meditation, lots of other ways, the thing starts going off. And that is a good sign. You know, it means you found the perimeter of your fence here. Some asshole is putting an invisible fence up here. You're the asshole. And, but if you keep going, I've noticed that, yeah, that feeling, it's like, even though it gives the impression that it's going to get worse or last forever, it really does. There's not a lot of like, it doesn't have a long battery life, whatever the shock collar is. You know, it just suddenly it stops bothering you. And then it's like suddenly this is the kingdom of heaven all of a sudden. Like this thing you've been basically trying to avoid, what, 10 minutes of unease? And because of that, you're missing out on what's on the other side of that invisible fence. This is a really tortured analogy. I'm so sorry. But
it's not, though, because there is something to be said about like knowing your limitations, but then you're the one that's able to move them further, you know, and push them, you know, and not being like, you know, not giving in to like, well, I can't do that because I'm into this. You know, I can't go to this place because these kind of people might be there. All those right. things, you know.
I don't listen to this kind of music. I don't watch these kind of movies. I don't wear this kind of clothes. I don't do this. I don't get fisted. I don't fist. Wait a minute, I'm fisting. It's not so bad.
Yeah, no. Or, you know, through all that, like, I really wanted to get fisted.
As it turns out, I needed a good fisting. Who would have thunk? But this, I'm sorry, I always ruin everything. This, to me, like, you know, not to get conspiratorial here, but I do think a lot, like, what if we are going to continue with my idiot shock collar comparison, I feel like though we've created it, actually, it's been created for us. There seems to be built in to the media and built into advertising, built into everything, like an intentional kind of, I don't know, distraction technology that is trying to do everything to keep you from realizing that just not doing much, not playing video games, not distracting yourself doesn't lead to depression or malaise, but rather to this place we started talking about in the beginning. This incredible realization you don't really need much to be okay.
Yeah, there's a huge market in it. That's why the, you know, in the shock collar market, you know, like, you know, that if you don't, like you said earlier, if you spend the time to mend your own clothes, to do your own work, to fix yourself and fix your own problems, you know, you're taking the third party out of it. And that third party exists off your fear, you know?
Yo, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
That's so true, too. My God, it's so true.
It's like a huge currency. Fear is a huge currency.
We need, like, I guess, like, not to go in the completely other direction, some of the potential AI overlays, you know, now that it can monitor things in real time, meaning that theoretically you could put an AI overlay over your TV, and during commercials, it could detect how much the commercial is trying to scare you. And just a little meter could appear, like, you know, the levels of fear that it's trying to induce in you, either in a subtle or overt way. And you'll begin to realize that 90% of commercials have embedded in them some ghost story that is supposed to scare your ass into getting the fucking thing. The next time you're watching commercials, just ask yourself, are they trying to scare me right now? It's not like they come right out and say, listen, motherfucker, you're fucked if you don't buy this fucking thing. But it's a more subtle thing. Like, hey, did you hear about Henry? What? Heart attack yesterday. No life insurance policy. Do you have a life insurance policy, honey? No, I don't want to do it. You need it for our family. You know what I mean? It's like over and over and over again. Whatever it is, whatever the commercial is, scaring your ass. And that's money, baby. That's money.
Yeah, it's scaring, or it's like tricking you, you know, like, oh, this like very soft, gauzy world is out there if I take this medicine. You know, I'll be able to play in this gigantic backyard show with all these people, you know, and it's every race is represented and all the ages are represented and everyone's having a great time and everyone's dancing around a little pill.
It's right on the other side of that pill.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have a jingle that's going to be so fucking addictive and horrifying that if you don't remember it, you might, you know, you might lose your mind. It's just the way it's all shopped to us is like, I mean, they're experts. They're experts in mind control, you know? That's God. What you do when you're an analysis.
You know? My God. It's so creepy. And then, you know, the other thing I realized is in the same lane that we're driving down right now. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Did you know October 10th was World Mental Health Day? And we must thank our nation's therapists. Can you imagine that job? For the therapists out there watching this, I can't imagine that job. I don't want to brag. I got a bachelor's degree in psychology. So, you know, I'm basically a therapist, but not really. They go into debt. You got to go to school for years. You got to take statistics classes. It's brutal. And then you sit in a room and you heal people's minds. You can't imagine what that's like. My mom was a therapist. And wow, some of my best friends are therapists. Wow. I'm always impressed by what that's like. The reality is that the right therapist can change everything. Happened for me. If you're somebody who's skeptical about therapy, I was too. And I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I'm still skeptical. Sure, this is going to work for some people. It's not going to work on my old, crusty, mildewed brain, my calcified heart. But I found a great therapist, and holy shit, when it works, when the catharsis happens, it's the most incredible moment. You never forget it. This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who've helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Duncan. That's betterhelp.com/Duncan. Take care of yourself, friends. It's rough on them streets. Find a great therapist. Let BetterHelp help you. So the way the algorithm works is you look at your phone and you're seeing these examples of like varying degrees of madness, whatever it may be. You're seeing somebody drinking their menstrual blood. And by the way, if you want to drink your period blood, I'm not saying that's madness, but what the madness part to me is setting up the tripod before you drink your menstrual blood. You know what I mean? Like being out there in the woods, getting the lighting right, and then drinking your bowl of blood. And you know what I mean? So so you're seeing these, the algorithm likes these things, whatever it may be, you know? But if you'll notice, and again, this is my algorithm, I don't know what you're getting, but you'll notice that your role when it comes to the algorithm is a normal person. And so, because we like to think of ourselves as normal people, but we also like to look outside of the bubble of what we consider to be normal, and that scares us. My God, what has the world become? But in general, this normal observer thing, this is how we've all been identified. You're normal. You're just a normal, stable dude. You want to be okay. These assholes out here are fucking nuts. And then the reporter, you know, is the ultimate version of the normal person. He's just reporting. He's complete. He got the suit on. Completely
no
normal.
Accent.
No accent.
Perfect geometry.
No, 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 no. He's got the weird hypno language thing going. No, 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 no. So you watch him and you're like, that dude's way more normal than me. Look at that. His beard's trimmed. Look at how, look at his fucking suit. I'll never have a suit like that. I'm going to trust this motherfucker. And you forget that that normal person's paycheck is coming from people selling the fucking pill that apparently will allow you access to the hyper-inclusive, fuzzy, gauzy dream world where you're finally able to play guitar in front of people at a backyard barbecue.
Ain't it the truth? It's true. I mean, that's like what we feed the algorithm. That's what we do. We're stewards to the algorithm. We maintain the algorithm. It's,
that's
you
right.
know,
that's
and,
right.
And it's funny, like I, you know, click on one fight video on Instagram, that's all you're going to get for.
Oh my God.
And it is, you know, that's where you do start to see the lopsidedness in it, where like the most intense stuff that you might highlight in your viewing is going to show up way more than like something that's more subtle. I don't know.
Absolutely, man. And like, that's why it's curious to me. And maybe it's just because I'm like an old man now and I don't know tech, but there should be on all social media an obvious button to reset your algorithm. There should be a button you press, which is like it washes the slate away and deletes.
Palette cleanse,
and erases all the metadata they have on you. There should be a button you press that just wipes the whole fucking slate so that you know, I sent my wife a picture of a sexy pregnant amputee, and I don't know why I did that. And dude, I'm still getting them. It's not like that's the worst thing the algorithm served up, but it's such a niche thing
though, that like, that where does that exist in the corners of the internet, and how are they farming that towards you?
Right.
And like, what you're talking about is pure anarchy, bro. You know, because if you want to reset the algorithm, that's like years and years of data mining down the tubes for them. You know, whoever they've been paying, you know, to set that up, you know, their job is, you know, start from square one. And it's true.
No.
You know, the old adage, you are what you eat. Same thing happens online. Same thing happens musically, what you're listening to, what you're watching on TV.
There you go. But there is an algorithm you can reset, right? That's the old internal fucking algorithm. As above, so below. And, you know, when you realize that your brain seems to be functioning just like TikTok. TikTok didn't invent anything new. They're like, let's just copy the way humans habituate when it comes to fixating on things. And, you know, if you start, what do they say? Neurons that fire together wire together. And so if you have spent the last, you know, many years worrying over whatever you've been worrying over, that's all you're going to get, man. Your brain is just going to keep spitting that shit out over and over and over again. And you have some control over that. Like, there is control over that.
Yeah. Yeah. You ultimately have agency to go back and just focus on your breath, you know, which is the ultimate palate cleanse. And, you know, like, take it from me. I've done it. And, you know, I don't do it all the time. I might not be great at it, but I do have experience with it. And every time I have concentrated on bringing that into my life, I felt better because of it.
Spoken like a man who just got back from a silent retreat.
True. 3 days, which was very easy. 3 days is like nothing compared to what the Vipassana practitioners do, 10 days usually. But 3 days, I needed it, and it was amazing.
10 minutes. Just do 10 minutes. I mean, honestly, like, most of us are so fucked up that if you just do it for 10 minutes, oh my God, like, you won't even believe it. Like, it's so funny and so absurd that that's all you need. I mean, it's literally, you need it, but it's so absurd that just sitting and watching your breath for 10 minutes, that can be the thing that sets your entire life in a whole new direction. By the way, and I said new direction, not new direction. How are we doing on time?
It's 1:15 my time. I still got another 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
If you're good, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'm curious this is something as I was thinking about our conversation. You know, when people hear about Shiva, all right, that those people who know who that is, most of us don't believe that's real in the sense of there's an actual Shiva. You know what I mean? That there's an embodiment, an actual, I don't want to use the term person, but
personification,
an entity. Yeah, and I was curious,
an avatar.
Man, what's your take on that? Do you actually believe in a trident wielding being that lives within and outside of this reality?
I do. But I also believe in the consciousness of infinite goodness that has no body or identification, and that being the true Shiva. For us, we make the symbols of Shiva as an archetypal figure. You know, that trident has a meaning, that double-ended drum Damaru has a meaning, him standing on one leg has a meaning, him wearing a tiger cloth has it. That's all embedded, encoded spiritual symbolism for the greater force that is the potential for all creativity. The Shakti, which is the female, you know, Shiva, we'll take the lingam as a symbol. You're familiar with the lingam.
Yeah.
It's the yoni, which is the base.
Yeah.
And the lingam, which is the male. So it's the male-female, like that.
Yeah.
Combined together, the potential and kinetic energy. And that's what I believe in as Shiva. Shiva is the potential energy. Devi is the kinetic energy. Have people made personifications for those symbols? Yes, obviously. It's to help them connect with them. Did they actually exist historically? Not for me to say. Could it have been in a completely different loka? You know, like a different realm that is outside of our earthly realm? Very good potential for that.
You know, when I was in a Hare Krishna temple and had, I would say, one of my most profound religious experiences, it was because I realized, like, to try to control it, I had been telling myself, I mean, this isn't real in the way that, like, you know, my brother's real. And then it showed up and I realized, oh, fuck. It's real. And then, you know, the personifications aren't going to do it justice any more than, like, trying to draw, I'm sure, like, trying to draw an elephant. At least I'm not good at drawing. Yeah. Look at the old pictures of elephants. You know what I mean? But you realize, like, oh, my God, it's real. And my mind, seeking to dominate it, told myself a story that it's not real.
Sure.
It's archetypical, mythological, an assemblage of, you know, aspects, but surely not the thing itself. But I think it's real. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where or why, certainly not why, but I think that's one of the wild moments you can have in some kind of theistic spiritual practice.
It's as real as it is here for you. If you're experiencing it in the heart, it's as real as it is happening in that moment. It's like me trying to tell you what an apple tastes like if you've never tasted an apple, or what a song sounds like if you've never heard the song. It's completely experiential. And that's the difference of, like, blind faith being like, oh, this is God. This is what he looks like. This is what she looks like. This is how old they were. This is where they lived. Rather than this is this inner dwelling master that if you pay enough attention and have enough awareness within you, you may be able to experience, and you may be able to adapt into your life and have that become, you know, the direction that you're going to walk. The path you're going to walk is going to be that Shiva.
And you're going to get there through today's sponsor, Ozempic. Ozempic.
There it is.
You'll see Shiva.
You know the song. It's there. It's embedded, man.
You're the best. As always, I love our conversation so much.
I love you too, man. It's great catching up.
I love you. And I can't wait to see you in the flesh again that night after the show. I'm coming out to Philadelphia. I'll let you know. I'm coming to Helium again. I hope we get the chance to hang out.
Yeah, please let me know. We're going to be playing in North Carolina. My band, Soma. I play in a band called Soma. And we're playing in North Carolina, which I know you're not there anymore. But if you have people that are there, maybe you can refer them.
Where?
And we're going to be playing at Alex Gray's, too, in December on the full moon.
Where in NC?
I can't remember the name, but I'll
just
text
send it
to you.
I'll say it in the beginning.
Yeah,
text
it's in Asheville, and it's amazing space.
Oh, Asheville. The Orange Peel, maybe? Or
no, it's the listening room.
Just send it to me. We don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, so you're going to be at Cosm?
We'll be at Cosm on the full moon in December.
Fuck. That is so cool.
Please come. Please come.
Oh, God. I love them so much, man. I miss them.
They're the best. And, what amazing experience just to be there with them, and what they've created there is incredible. I highly recommend it to anybody.
They let me park my tour bus once when I was on tour at Cosm, and I slept in front of Cosm in my tour bus and had the craziest dreams I've ever had in my fucking life. It was so weird, dude.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Just coincidence. Coincidence.
You're sleeping in front of a living art museum.
I know. Yeah. It was so cool. Yeah, they're sweet, man. Well, okay. You're the best. Onwards and upwards, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That was my friend Robert Ryan, everybody. Go see him perform, won't you? And if you're looking for a tattoo, he's the only person you should get a tattoo from on this entire planet. If I'm ever going to get a tattoo, it's from that man. And it will be a tattoo of the Burger King sitting on a throne of human skulls. I'll see you next week. Until then, Hare Krishna.